Hey, you ready to talk about, what are we talking about tonight?
I don't know.
You don't know? Before we do that, I guess the way it works here, you know, you sell your DVDs down at the bookstore, and like Ken said, if you didn't get any, they brought the ones that weren't sold up here, and we can, I guess we sort of got to do a deal at the back of the car or something, you know. So anyway, if you want those, and you don't even know what they are, we're not going to promote them, but they're different things that are many of the things we've said this weekend. And many people have asked me, how do you get a hold of me? Just right there, dave.wilson@kensingtonchurch.org. If you need to email either one of us for anything, that's how you can get a hold of us. And some of these have study guides. You could do a small group with them, and we can get them through that email address, all right? I don't like doing that.
Maybe you should say what's in them, though, so they have an idea.
You want to know that? You do? Okay. They're not all up here, but we've got the Survival Guide to Relationships is some of the stuff we did last night and this morning, love and respect, okay? And three messages on there. This one's Survival Guide for Parenting. It's three messages on the early years, 0 to 12. How do you raise 0 to 12? And then the teen years, and then the mistakes parents make. We made them all. We tell them all on that one. Basically, that's
actually,
it.
Actually, that's true.
And then I told the guys this morning there's the four pillars of manhood, and that has a study guide with it as well. Also, the Survival Guide for Relationships has a study guide. We've had some, if anybody's really interested, we've had a couple couples around the country, I'll mention that, do the Survival Guide for Relationships six-week study with couples, and then we Skype in the last one and answer questions. If you want to do that, we'd love to do that. We got nothing else to do with our life, so that'd be great. But we've done that, and that's been pretty cool. The Rock Your Marriage is another one out there. That is a marriage retreat we did at our church. So it's five messages, two DVDs, including a breakout with the men and a breakout with the women for Ann. So
and they,
there's
both
music
of those,
on there, and there's dramas on there. It's pretty. They our arts team did some cool stuff.
And both of those, some people have asked, both of those have the tree trimming.
That's all they really want anyway. Somebody have the chopper. So... That's it. All right, we're done. I hate doing that. So I'm supposed to Twitter, I'm supposed to blog, and I just don't do any of that stuff very, very well because you're supposed to make a name for yourself. And we like to fly under the radar, so that's why we don't have a book. So anyway, let's talk about sex. How's that for a transition from that to this? Yeah, we just decided as we walked through this weekend that this is a topic that needs to be addressed from a Christian perspective. Do you agree? I hope you agree. You'll decide after we're done if you agree or not. But often it's never addressed from the church, from the pulpit. I mean, for years it was never talked about ever in church. And you thought, you know, Christians only could have sex to make babies and there was no pleasure part of it. So here's what we know whenever we talk about sex. And we've said this here before, but it's true. In the audience right now are a couple different groups of people. One would be like the blushers who really don't want us to talk about it, and they don't talk about it much at home, and maybe they grew up in a home that wasn't talked about, and you like the lights turned down low, and don't say the S word too much, you know, just sort of keep it very clean, right? And then on the other side of that, and this is true, in the same group here, I don't know who's who, but there's the locker room crowd who's like, come on, baby, if you're going to talk about it, talk about it, you know? You got video screens here, let's, you know, use them, you know? Don't hold anything back, right? Trust me, no videos, none, zero. But, you know, and I'm not kidding, you're laughing because that's sort of true. There's some that approach it very openly, and there's others that very just sort of approach it in whispered tones.
And then there are also people here that have been very hurt in this area. Just us talking about it, you already have a pit in your stomach because now there's pressure to do it. And so there are some of you, and we know that, and we know, too, that sex is very much tied to how the relationship is doing, especially for the woman. And so we're going to talk about a lot of those things. And some of us come into this room with some abuse in our backgrounds and some hurts. That was me. And so for Dave and I, we really struggled in this area because of my abuse. It affected our sexual relationship a lot. And so it was really hard for me to even talk about it because it stirred up a lot of things from my past.
An amazing thing is when we came into our marriage, we thought, no big deal. It's in the past. How can it affect us in our marriage? It's like naive, you know, it's just stupid, especially on my part, to think this wouldn't be a part of our marriage.
And
it has been.
As we've been doing this more and more, what we're seeing is, especially the younger the couples are, the more wounds it seems like they're carrying. A lot of it has to do with pornography, where we have a lot more baggage, it seems like. I think we all have baggage, but more and more with the younger generations coming up that seems like it's affecting the relationship more and more, which is ironic because sex is talked about and it's exploited everywhere in the media, and yet a sexual relationship that glorified God is never talked about.
Yeah, and probably the last category maybe would be we've got the group of people in here sort of proud in this area. It's like, you know, what's a bald guy and his wife going to teach me about sex?
That's this old couple.
You're sitting there sort of like this, you know, he's a pastor. They probably did it three times. They have three boys. That's it, you know. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, he's in the ministry, you know. Trust me, okay? need I say
that
more?
That's funny. You've never said that.
I've never said that.
You're hot.
First. I'm hot?
You
say I'm hot?
You are.
We got to go. We'll be back. We'll be back in about 18 seconds. So I've never said that before either.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
We have lost control.
Tonight.
Les, I'm sorry. What just happened here?
Maybe we should have prayed first.
All right. We've had like five prayers already. Here we go. It didn't work. And I say that all the time. I'm the guy that prays for the Detroit Lions. Do you think God answers my prayers? I don't think so. So
that's awful.
Here's what we're calling tonight. Game changer lover. Loving. That's what I called it. Because it's like, okay, let's take a look at this from God's perspective, and it could change the game. I really think this. As we thought through what we're going to say to you, it's like if we understood the three thoughts we're going to give you tonight, you know, we're simple. We're simple people. It's always two or three thoughts. If we got a handle on these three thoughts, it would change the game, the relationship, love, sexual game. It's not a game, but in our marriage. And so the first one would be this. First thought is this: bring God into your bedroom. And I don't mean literally, you know, but I do mean bring a spiritual perspective. Bring God's perspective into the bedroom. And we've already said this, but it really has been sad how the church has been silent on this topic. I mean, our kids. The public knows what the world thinks about sex. They really don't know what God thinks about sex. They've only heard maybe one or two things. When I was a kid growing up around the church, going to church with my mom, I never heard a sermon on sex that I can remember. And the only thing I remember our reverend saying about sex was it's wrong and it's dirty. And if you do it, you'll go bald. Something like that. You know, it was like, I'm kidding. But, you know, that's what I heard. There was never a perspective of bring God in the bedroom that God is the author of sex. I remember we said that one time at a marriage weekend for family life, God invented sex. And this guy, I'm not kidding, third row was like, praise Jesus, really loud. His wife's crawling under the chair. It was just, you know, and he just emoted what he said. You know, Hugh Hefner didn't invent this. God did. God invented sex. I mean, it's his design. And think about this. If you were God, I've talked about this before. If I was God and I was thinking of how the human race could procreate,
is this something guys would think about?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, they say guys think about sex 17 times a minute. So this could be one of the thoughts. I was like, you know, I'm God. I can, you know, do reproduction any way I want. You know, it could be like cross-pollination or something. You know, you sneeze in aisle seven, it's like, oh, I'm pregnant again. You know, it's just like, it could have been that, right? I'm God. I can do it any way I want. Done. I hate it when that happens. That kind of thing, right? But God, in his amazing wisdom, and I think from a theological perspective, it reveals his heart, it reveals his character, and even his holiness, that he created this intimate act. It's much more than an act, but communication between a husband and a wife that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so I think when we say bring God in the bedroom, it means what does God think of this? And so many of us, I don't know if you're like me, but I grew up thinking God thinks sex is wrong and dirty and bad. Even for married couples, sort of my perspective is like, where is it good? Where does God ever smile? And I always had this image in my head that God was sort of covering his eyes or disgusted when a married couple even made love. That was sort of my perspective. It's like, he doesn't like this. It's just like a necessary evil so you can reproduce, but God doesn't like it. And as you study scripture, and I'm proud to say I've studied scripture in this area, and here's what you find out. God applauds a married couple making love. Now, some of you can't even let your mind go there. It's like, what? That's like heresy. No, it isn't. That's what the scripture says. I mean, if part of me thinks when a married couple makes love, has sex, whatever we're going to call it, God is like, amen. Enjoy this. This is a beautiful gift in this context, marriage covenant. It's very dangerous outside of that covenant. We talked a little bit with the guys today that sex involves the soul. You're not just giving your body away. You're giving your soul away. That's why he says protect it. It's like taking a Ferrari on a dirt road. You do not take a Ferrari on a dirt road. You drive it because it's special and it's very costly. Sex the same way. It is reserved for marriage. I know it's not a popular idea, but he says bring God in the bedroom. This is where it's awesome. This is where he applauds and says, yes, this is right. Mm. So one of the passages I just put down in under this area is Proverbs 5:18 says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Now, I grew up in church where you say the word breast in the Bible, you're like, oh. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like R-rated. It's like, this is the Bible. This is scripture. And actually, some of you know Proverbs 5 is a passage about avoiding sexual temptation. Don't walk down that street, but he says, now this is the street you should be blessed by, the fountain of your wife. That's the blessing. And may her breast satisfy you. God celebrates the sexual relationship of a husband and wife. We shouldn't be embarrassed about it. We shouldn't be embarrassed to talk about it. God wasn't embarrassed to create it. So it's like, this is an absolute beautiful thing. So that's really just a simple thought. And by the way, one of the purposes of sex from God's perspective is what? Obviously, one of them is procreation or reproduction. Obviously, that's God desired that we multiply and create a godly legacy. But another area that's not talked about when I say God bring God in the bedroom is pleasure. That's a part of God's purpose for sex, that we would enjoy it, that maybe sometimes we would even smile and laugh and giggle. We're not going there. But, you know, sometimes he's saying this is an absolutely beautiful thing. Enjoy it. It doesn't be a necessary evil, but an absolute vital part of our relationship.
And I think sometimes what happens is, and we've shared this here before, but it's amazing to me that before we're married, I feel like Satan will do everything in his power to get us to have sex. Because that is, God wants it to be in the confines and the covenant of marriage. And yet after we're married, Satan will do everything in his power for us not to have sex. Because there's an intimacy and a oneness that is reserved for marriage. And as a result of that, there's this beautiful union that takes place. It makes it different from any other relationship. It's when there's no sex involved, it becomes like a partner that's not your intimate lover. And God wanted all of those things combined to make it this beautiful reflection of him.
You know, it was interesting. Last year, sometime during the year, Ann and I were asked at our church to do a video message for all the campuses about what no one's telling you about sex. That was the series we're in, what no one's telling you about different topics. And one of the things I discovered as I was preparing that message is there was a University of Chicago study done years ago about who's having the best sex in America. You ever see that study? It became somewhat popular. And so as I read the study, they basically decided that evangelical Christians are having the best sex in the country. They're having more sex. They're enjoying it more. They, you know, on the survey, they reported that they enjoyed this part of their marriage. And the surveyors were like, what in the world? Evangelical Christians? This can't be true. They're having more sex than, you know, all the other people in the country. And so what we said in that message, what no one's telling you about sex, you want to have great sex, go to church. That was our first point. And we wanted to have a little double meaning, like, what? Yeah, you want to have great sex, go to church. When you get God's perspective on sex, when you bring God into your bedroom, it's better. Why? Because you're freed up of all the baggage that you've carried in there to say, I don't need to carry this baggage anymore. God loves this part of a marriage. I can release myself to understand that God wants us to join soul to soul.
And I think,
body.
Especially for women, there's a security that's involved because right. I trust this man. I trust him with my life, with my body, with our family. There's an incredible sense of security that's involved in that.
So the first point that you wrote down, hopefully, was what do we call it? Bring God in your bedroom. Here's the second point. I'm going to sing it to you before we tell you what it is. In fact, this is just the way I think. And so I thought, hey, I can use the song title for our second point. See if you recognize this song. Am I good? Anybody know that song already? I know the band guys do. Your body is a wonderland. Remember that song?
All the younger guys.
Your body is a wonderland. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what somebody sort of does, you know. I'm not kidding. That's your second point. Write it down. Your body is a wonderland. That is the second point. I'll explain it in a minute, but I'm not kidding. One time I was in my office doing this on my guitar, and Ann came by, and she says, "Hey, I could sing that song to you." And I'm like, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah, be like this. Your body was a wonderland."
I did not do that.
Yes, she did. She
I did not.
Your body was a wonderland at one time. Yeah, that's what she did. So, but yeah, John Mayer wrote that song, and it's sort of, you know, a word picture of that. God has created, I'm sure he wasn't thinking this, but God has given us amazing bodies. And in the area of sex, here's what we're going to talk about. Men and women, especially in this area, approach this topic totally different. Mm. And we just need to spend a little bit of time talking about the differences. And some of you remember a couple years ago we brought this chart down here. And I'm not expecting you to write all these things down, but this is a chart we actually use at the Family Life Weekend to Remember. It comes right out of their manual. And it compares the differences between men and women in the area of sex. I think this chart is worth take home right here. So we're going to walk you through it just briefly. We won't talk about everything. Can you see it okay? Is it coming up okay for you?
It's pretty small.
Yeah, so on the left side you have men, and there's different areas we're going to look at. In the area of attitude, that's in the middle there, men tend to be more physical and compartmentalized when they think about sex or approach that area. Women more relational and holistic. So what does that mean? Obviously it means, well, Anne can explain this better than I can because you've understood my brain in this area.
This is one of the hardest things for me of how God has wired us so different in this area. And the reason I want to talk about it is because Dave and I have really struggled with this in our relationship, especially when our kids were little. It was probably the time that we struggled the most. And the thing that we struggled with, honestly, was frequency.
You can't have sex when you have little kids. It's like, how? I mean, it's
you
just they're
can't.
Everywhere.
We
they're
did.
Running around the house all the time.
It was just, Dave was
You're
like.
You're exhausted.
I am
Should
exhausted.
Should I keep going?
Yeah, thanks, honey. Yeah. So I was trying in some way, and I'm very visual. That's why I come up with the visual illustrations. And I wanted Dave to understand, and I wanted men to understand what this is like for a woman. And you've probably heard the whole thing where men are like microwaves, and women are like crockpots, right? So we are women. It takes us longer to warm up. But the other thing that is so different is men are very compartmentalized, which I think most women were very envious of that. Because you guys, you can go from compartment, you take out, go out of that compartment, and you drift into, or you go directly into another compartment. And your compartments don't touch. You know, it's like you could go from a football game to a fight, and right after that fight, you can have sex, and you'd be good. And so Dave and I would be like, we'd be in this fight, and we'd be like, all right, let's go. I'm like, wait, we can't have sex right now. I am still, like, simmering from this. He's like, why? We're done. Let's go. And so it was so
and
frustrating.
And I don't, like, say, let's go. I mean, I have a little more charm than Noah sometimes. Sometimes I say, let's
You do sometimes.
Whatever. Okay.
So the illustration with the chopping trees, that was kind of for women. But this one's for men to understand. Because I think what happens is, for women, we're very global. We're very, everything touches everything. We don't go compartment to compartment. We have one big compartment, and they're all touching, and they're all combined. However, if Dave, if he knows that we're going to have sex that night or we're making love, he goes from one compartment into, this would be the sexual or intimacy compartment. And so he'll go upstairs, and the only thing he's thinking about is sex. And he's waiting for me. He's not thinking of his job right now. He's just thinking of that. But a woman, on the other hand, first of all, we know our husband's waiting for us. He has these expectations. And we're still like, reeling from the day and the events that are going on and what's going to be happening tomorrow. So we're downstairs. We're getting ready. And we're thinking, okay, so we've got all kinds of things going on tomorrow. What am I having for dinner? Gosh, I haven't talked to my mom in a while, and she wasn't doing well. And my kids are struggling with school, and I haven't cleaned the house. I have this ironing to do, and I'm so fat. I haven't worked out in so long. And, oh, my gosh, I've got Dave's traveling, and I'm traveling, and I've got all those uniforms to wash. And CJ's dating this girl. What is this girl? Like, what's that about? Oh, yeah, and I need to make sure I'm not chopping trees. And Dave said something to me earlier. It made me so mad, and I'm still hurt by that. So all these things are going through my, what am I having for dinner tomorrow? I need to go to the grocery store. You know, it's all going on. And I get up in bed, and I'm exhausted thinking of all these things I need to do. And Dave's like ready to go, and I'm like, I'm laying here with all these things on my mind. I cannot shift out of this gear. And he's like, what is your problem? Why aren't you here with me? Ladies, do you get this? I love women.
Guys, you get this? just drop them. Look.
And so for Dave, when I shared this with him, he's like, are you serious? What's the problem? Just let go of that stuff. We can't, can we? Because it's always, everything is always going on in our mind. And one thing affects the other thing. And it all affects the sex life. And so I feel sorry for you guys. And I feel more sorry for the women. And yeah, I have learned
in the area of sex, women are like a string of Christmas tree lights. If one's out, they're all out. You know? It's true. It really is.
So the question is, I mean, you might be like really defeated because when I told Dave this, he was totally depressed. Like, oh, that's great.
I'm like, okay, there goes that idea, you know. Bummer.
So, honestly, I've been frustrated with God about this. Like, why would you create us so different? Because if I'm mad at Dave, it affects how I feel about him sexually. And we went through this thing when our kids were little where Dave is like, I need more sex. Like, this is really hard. What is your problem? Not you didn't say, what is your problem? Sometimes maybe you said that.
I probably did.
I would be like, you know, because everybody's hanging on me all day long, and I feel like I'm just another object. And then we would get into it, and if you would touch me once in a while, that would really help. And
she means non-sexual touch.
Yes.
That's what she means. I'm like,
just
oh.
Hug me or kiss me. It would be really hard. And so I think what I battled with, why would God do this? Because it makes it so difficult when I'm exhausted and you've been gone. And I feel like, here's the other thing that's frustrating for you guys, is for a woman, Dave can be gone and be out of town, or we haven't spent any time together. He can see me and be like, let's go. And I can be like, I don't even know you. I'm not even connected with you yet. And it's so frustrating for you. Like, wouldn't we get so frustrated with each other?
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, like, I text you. What are you talking about? We've communicated. Are you kidding me? She's like, we haven't talked. We need to go out. And I'm like, oh, so hard. So much work, you know.
And so as I was frustrated and praying about this, I felt like, Lord, I do not get it. Like, why would you do this in such a different way? And you were really good with this because you said, Ann, if you were like me, it would be an act, it would be over, and it would be done. There would be no connection of the soul.
Yep.
And it makes it this beautiful, complicated mess that glorifies God somehow. Because it makes us work on the relationship more. It makes us this beautiful act of intimacy. And I think I've shared this before here, but I think the greatest impact that someone had on me were Howard and Jeannie Hendricks. He's a Dallas Seminary prof for years. And he and his wife, Jeannie, they were speaking at a group that we were with, we speak for Weekend to Remember conferences, and it was all the speakers just doing some Q&A time with Howard and Jeannie. They're in their 80s, been married over 60-some years. And they said, ask whatever you want. So someone raised their hand and said, hey, prof, what's sex like in your 80s? And we're like, why are you asking them this? That is so embarrassing. And Howard Hendricks, if you've ever listened to him, the guy doesn't flinch. He said, oh, it's the best it's ever been. And we're all like, oh, my gosh. And he said, you guys, you don't even know. If you've been married less than 15 years, you still think it's all about the physical. You have no clue. Because sex is all about the soul. And when this person you love, you come together with them, and it's this beautiful union of your souls together, and it glorifies God. And I remember sitting there like,
we want that.
And we are clueless still.
I mean, that's what we felt. It's like, that is the goal, mm-hmm. is to be able to be one in Christ, even in the bedroom, and be able to say in your 80s, it's a beautiful thing.
And so for you guys, I want to encourage you, like you might be depressed that your wife is laying there with all these things on her mind. And for me, it really helped me when I communicated that to Dave, that we would sometimes, he would just give me a back rub for maybe 5 or 10 minutes just to help me unwind, help me to lay everything aside. And he could not touch me anywhere intimately, like, just stay on the back, honey. Just stay on the back. Didn't you?
Yep. Yep. I learned.
So maybe.
And you also taught me to ask this question: what's the heaviest bag you're carrying right now? Mm. You know, ask me, and that means I love you rather than just want to use you. And it's a question that.
Yeah. At a conference, this couple came up to us, and this guy said, "I asked that question, and my wife talked for 4 hours." He said, "But then we had the best sex we've ever had in our lives." So if he asks that question, just, you know, don't go there on and on.
Okay, second category on the chart is stimulation. Men tend to be more body-centered, sight, fragrance, actions. I mean, ladies, I don't know if you've ever looked at this, but many men would like a little light on, some light, and many women is like, turn the lights off. There it is. That's why. Men are more sight, visual, body-centered. You look on the right side, women are more person-centered. It's all about the relationship, touch, attitudes, words. Words really, really, really matter to women. I mean, soft, tender, caring, compassionate words. I mean, one of the thoughts is this. Guys, when is the last time you've said to your wife, I love you? Now, you don't need to raise your hand or tell me, but think that through. I'm hoping today. I'm hoping over our little break this afternoon, but maybe it's been a while. You know, you remember this song? I mean, it's a great song about that very thing. I mean, women love this guy when he sings it. You guys know Rod Stewart? Some of you know Rod Stewart? He sang this song. I can't do Rod justice, but it's a song basically about romance for a woman. It's like... Remember that song? Have I told you lately that I love you? Want to turn the lights down? Have I told you there's no one else above you? Ooh. You know what I think? I think I need the band. Don't I need the band? Come on up here, man. You guys can play this. I guarantee they can do this in their sleep. And here's what I want the guys to do. You got to sing this to your woman right here. I mean, the words are simple.
Put your arm around her. Yes. Yes. Oh, I wish I had a camera.
Oh. All right, you got to sing it with me. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you, all right? Here we go. You guys ready? 2, 3. Hit it. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? Here we go. You fill my heart with gladness, make away all my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. Wanna play it again? Here we go. Have I told you lately? Guys, sing it out. Let's hear it. Take away. Take away. All right. Ease my troubles. Ease my troubles. That's what you do.
Yeah. You
guys
are
I'd love to keep you guys up here, but we got to get done. All right.
I have to tell you this story, and for the women, you know, we can do too. We can admire our husbands still. We may not be as visual as they are, but still, I think we need to just cheer on our husbands.
I agree with that.
I've never shared this before here, this part, except for them. Dave was walking out of the shower one time. And,
what? What are you doing?
I'm laying in bed, and I'm reading a book, and...
This was early in our marriage, wasn't it?
He walks across the room naked. I don't lift my head from the book.
What are you doing telling this story? This is not anywhere near these notes.
And he gets in bed. He puts his stuff on. He gets in bed. He's like, you know what? I can walk across the room naked. That is so pitiful. You do not even lift your head up from your book. And you laughed about it.
I was pretty hurt, though.
I know. I thought, yeah.
That was back when I actually had a body and looked good.
You still do.
Whatever.
So then the next time I thought, you know, I'm going to pick up on that. So the next time he comes out, he has his towel wrapped around him, and I make sure that I let the book, like, drop on the bed, and we make eye contact, and I just go, He whips off his towel. He strolls around. He goes, you know what? And that didn't even take but how hard is that, ladies, huh? That's right. You cheer your man.
I'm embarrassed. I've never heard you tell that story with men in the room. You do it with women when I'm not there.
I know.
That was a great day, though. I do remember that night. Yeah, baby. All right, I'm sweating now. Where are we? You really expect me to finish now? Get the old towel going. All right. Here you go. Third category in the chart. This is some pretty good stuff. Needs. Men need to be, here it is, respected, physically needed, physical expression. Women, more security, emotionally needed, intimacy. Hmm. It really is true. Women, sex, making love is intimacy. It should be that way for men, but it always isn't always that way for men, and that's okay. But men need to understand that for their wife, that's very, very important. It really is. I mean, it's just like that is something that they need. Words, conversation. We said it this morning, non-sexual touch is huge to your wife, guys. It just is. I mean, we read the book years ago, Willard F. Harley's books, His Needs, Her Needs, and he listed the top five needs of women, and sex was not in the top five. Guess what number one was for men, according to Harley? Sex. Top five women, not mentioned. I'm like, what is up? You know, and I remember taking that book to Ann, this is years ago, and going, is this true for you? And she's like, almost exact, that's me. And I'm like, so why is sex not even listed in the top five? One survey in Florida they did, they asked women, what would you do in your leisure time? List the things. Sex was like 26th in their leisure time, right before sewing for pleasure. You know what I mean? I am not making this up. Free time, that's 20. Ugh. And so I'm looking at this, and I went to Ann, and here's what Ann said. Remember, you said, sex is all over the first three. That's sex to a woman. I'm looking back at the thing. Number one, I memorized this, by the way, guys. I memorized these three. So I'm like, if these are her top needs, I better know. I better be an expert on her. You need to be an expert on your wife. And so I asked her, is affection number one? Yep. What's that? Non-sexual touch. Hold me. Put your hand on my knee. Hold my hands.
Open the door.
Yeah. Kiss me.
Cherish me.
I mean, when's the last time married couples often never kiss? Outside the bedroom. Many don't even kiss in the bedroom. It's an act. And she's saying, that's one of my top needs. Second one was conversation, communication. There it is. Words matter. Third one was openness and honesty. As Les said today, hot. Remember hot? What was it? Honest?
Ooh,
honest, open,
good.
And transparent. Hot communication. Les said today, I'd never heard that before. I'm like, that is good. Mm-hmm. Honest, open, and transparent communication. That is what she longs for. I tell you guys, I've learned this. You want to have hot sex? That's the acronym you need. Honest, open, and transparent communication, non-sexual touch, affection. It changes the game.
Well,
in the bedroom.
And here's what we're finding more and more over the years. It's weird how things have shifted so much. When we first started doing marriage conferences 22 years ago, this was pretty much the greatest cry in marriages, where the men are saying, we want more sex, and our woman doesn't desire it as much.
That has changed.
Very much so. Where now at the conferences, we're hearing from the women saying, my husband does not want sex nearly as much as I do. And we're trying to figure out, like, what is going on with that? What's been the shift in our society that's creating this difference? And I think a lot of it, I think part of it has to do with pornography, where it's just easier to go to porn and to be fulfilled on your own because it's so complicated in your marriage relationship. And yet it's just like you're depriving your relationship of one of the greatest gifts because you have to work on the relationship. Do you think that's why?
Yeah, and you know, when Ann and I were doing that What No One's Telling You About Sex message, one of our other thoughts was, no one tells you how hard sex is in marriage, how difficult it is to have great sex, how much communication, how much you need to talk, how much you need to understand, how selfless you have. Nobody talks about that. Mm. Movies, non-Christian media, whatever, says it's easy. You should have all orgasms every day. It's like, They never show the reality. You and I know. If you're married, it's hard. And one of the other things we said in that message is no one talks about it. Most married couples never talk about sex. They live in this quiet discouragement about this area of their life. I know many men who are very discouraged with their sex life and their marriage, and they've never felt like they could really share that with their spouse.
And
it's
I think
really
women
hard
feel
to talk
the
about.
Same thing.
Yeah, women feel the same thing in a different way. They feel probably more discouraged than the men because there's no love. It's only an act.
And
it's
we also
not
feel
about.
Like we cannot compete with pornography.
Yeah.
Like we can't. We don't measure up. It's really hard for us. And it takes away our security in the relationship.
All right, last two categories. Fourth one is sexual response. Men tend to be acyclical, quick excitement, difficult to distract. What's that mean? Acyclical. There's no real cycle, right? One guy said it's like anytime, anyplace, anywhere. It's just like that's the man's cycle. Difficult to distract is like maybe you could slice that out and put impossible to distract. You know, a hurricane could be blowing through your house and doesn't even know. You know, he doesn't even register. He's focused, baby, doesn't know. But women, on the other side, women are more cyclical. Obviously, there's a monthly cycle involved, slower excitement, easily distracted. I mean, Anne has been like, do you hear that? I'm like, what?
I think the kids are getting out of bed. Did you hear somebody?
No, you'd be like, I think I heard an ice cube drop two doors down. They're like, hello, you know, let's get folks here.
Make sure you get a lock on your door. That's important.
Yeah, definitely on your bedroom door. I mean, there's a study, you probably have seen these studies, but for quick excitement, average man reaches orgasm in 2.3 minutes. Average man. Average woman, 13 minutes. 13 minutes. You could read the phone book in 13 minutes. You know, it's like, really? But it's just, we're so different. Lord of the Rings trilogy I could read in 13 minutes. You know, it's like, but the beauty, as we've said before, is that's how God made us even different physically. That's the way our bodies are. That's a beautiful thing, because if a man will understand that she is slower to excitement, that is awesome. It's like, that means we take more time. Tell a guy you can make love longer? Really? It means you've got to be selfless most of that time. It's not about me. It's not about my orgasm. It is about loving and caring for my bride, that she would feel when that evening is over that she was loved, not used. That's a beautiful thing, that God made us different. But if we don't understand that, all we want to do is change them or say they're different or they're wrong. They should be more like, and no, we should stand back and go, awesome. Wow. Isn't that amazing how God made you? And I need to appreciate that and be selfless with that.
And I think that, too, as we get older and we're on medications and different things affect our sex life.
We're not on any medications yet. Okay. Just in case you're wondering.
I think it's really important, too. That's when the intimacy becomes even more important.
Right. And the last category we're not going to talk about, and no illustrations at all about orgasm. Shorter, more intense for men. Longer, more in-depth for women. That's biology 101. All right, last point. Change the game. That's our last thought. We want to encourage you, and we're looking in the mirror as well, to change the game in this area of your marriage. I'm hoping just by talking about this and sort of getting God's perspective on this, bringing God in the bedroom, understanding the differences, your body's a wonderland. It's like, wow, your body is a wonderland. Your soul is a wonderland. God has created an amazing thing. Step back and appreciate that and react to that. Then the last thought is change the game. We're hoping that maybe this area of your marriage could take a turn, a good turn. Maybe it's great, it could be greater. Maybe it's good, it could become great. Maybe it's really a struggle. And maybe you've really been hurt in this area. Could God do a miracle in this area? Because I believe with all my heart, God desires that all aspects of our marriage be unto him and bring him glory and be a joy part of our marriage, and the bedroom included. So when I say change the game, it's like I'm hoping that God will help us understand even this verse in 1 Corinthians 7. I know you've seen this, but it says the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, talking about sex here, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. So we don't just exchange rings on our wedding day, but ownership of our bodies. And look what he says in verse 5. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I mean, I bet you most non-Christians have no idea that the Bible instructs Christians to make love regularly. I mean, I tell that some non-church guys I coach with, they're like, that's in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. I'm going to church. You know, it's like, wow, they're so, like that, the Bible encourages couples to make love on a regular basis? Yeah. Now, I'm not going to tell you what regular means. Is it once a week? Is it, you know, three times a day? I mean, that is up to you and your relationship. And everybody's trying to, you know, figure out the average.
But we will say this. It should be more than once a month. But I think we need to say a few, like, years.
A lot more than once a month, but, yeah, but. I just. Did I say that out loud? I did. I mean, a lot of marriages, honestly, we know just by counseling couples, that's about normal.
Mm-hmm.
Not normal, but that's pretty regular for some couples once a month. And one thing, ladies, I think I can just say from a man's perspective, we talked about it last night, how your man needs respect. I'm telling you, when a wife is always saying no to her man, he feels disrespected. This area is really tied to respect for men. Mm-hmm. And it isn't so much that you aren't interested. It says to a man, I don't really want you sexually. I think the lure for men of pornography, more than anything, is those women want those men. They act like they do. And men direct these, from what I've heard. And so they set up these things, and women are more aggressive. And most men are like, no, wives are like that. My wife doesn't want me. She tolerates me sometimes, and she'll make love to me because I have a need, but she doesn't want me. And that feels to a man like disrespect. And so women often say, well, I just feel like a piece of meat, and it's different. Like, but let me ask you, ladies, something. If a man didn't talk to you for a month, if your husband would not communicate with you, you would feel unloved. And you would, some of you would say, that's grounds for divorce. He hasn't talked to me in a month or two. It may be stretching a little bit, but men feel the same way about the sexual relationship. That's how we think. It's like, we haven't made love in 2 months. She really doesn't respect me or love me or want me.
Hmm. And I think one of the things I read in Love and Respect that really hit me was, this is an interesting dilemma in a way, because Emerson Eggerich says, for a woman to get to a man's heart, and I think that's what we desire. Like, I want to know you. I want you to be intimate with me in our relationship, not physically, just physically, but emotionally. And he says, for a woman to get that, she has to first go through a man sexually. So to get the intimacy, and I've seen this with Dave, when he opens up to me, a lot of times it will be after we have been physically intimate, and then he becomes emotionally intimate. But the bummer is, for a man to get to a wife's body, he first has to be intimate with her emotionally. So it's like, you know, we miss each other. So I guess the question is, who makes the first move? Is it the wife makes the first move to have sex with her husband first? Or is it the husband who becomes intimate and relationally before he tries to have sex with her?
And you know what Emerson says in his book about who should make the first move, even in the area of love and respect? Who should make the first move to love his wife or respect her? You know what he says? It's a great answer. He who is most mature, make the first move. Gotcha! You're like, he who is most mature, she who is most mature, you do what they don't deserve. That's Christ-like. Back to Ephesians 5:1, where we started. Be imitators of God. Remember? That is only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we sort of wrap this thing up, as we say change the game, just a couple, I hope, refreshing thoughts would be like this. Spice it up a little bit. That's okay. You know, you don't have to make love in your bed every single time, okay? That's okay. It's biblical. You can read the Song of Solomon. See, they went out in the vineyard. Outside, yeah, be very careful. Be secret. Don't let anybody see you. All right. I'm not, promoting public nudity, but I'm just saying,
oh my gosh.
Seriously, just enjoy a little bit in this area, because as we talk to couples, even Detroit Lion couples, we always play the newlywed game with them at the end of our Bible study every year, and we always have a question there about whoopee, you know, like, where's the most creative place? And it's so sad sometimes, like, these NFL athletes, man, they live on the edge. It's like, left side of the bed, right side of the bed. Really? Yeah, we've been married 4 years. It's just, you know, that's where we are now. Oh, that's just great. You know, that is not adding a little game change to the. I mean, I'll tell you a quick story we shared here a couple years ago, but I was doing chapel one night for Detroit Lions on Saturday night. We do our chapels on Saturday night for our game on Sunday, and it was my birthday. It's in a hotel in Troy, Michigan, where the team stays, and I was down there, and it was my birthday that day, so I'm up there doing chapel. Luther Ellis, one of our players at the time, walks in 5 minutes late, which he always did, and it always bugged me, and he sat in the front row. So I'm looking at him like, nice job, dude. I'm in the middle of my thing. He hands me a note and sits down, and on it says, Dave Wilson, open immediately.
Emergency.
Yeah, it said emergency? Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm in the middle of this thing. I can't open it. So I put it down, and Luther goes, no, you need to open that right now. So I'm like, oh, maybe something's wrong, you know. So I don't know why I did this. I opened it up and started reading it out loud. Don't know why.
I didn't know that for several years, that he read it out loud.
But here's what I read. I mean, I literally just opened up and said, hey, big boy, happy birthday. Your birthday gift is up in room 2105. Yeah. I got about that far before I realized she was sending me a note saying she's naked in a hotel room right now waiting to give me my birthday gift.
I gave it to Luther. I knew he'd be late. I thought, there's not a whole lot that shocks him. And I thought, I'm going to wait till he's right in the middle of this thing. And he will be so shocked. I just wanted to surprise him, you know, to catch him off guard without having any idea that he would read it out loud.
Yeah, so I read that, and then I close it real quick, and I look at it. I have 30 guys in there, and I'm like, well, guys, guess where I'm going after chapel. And it was so funny because they're all on the edge of their seat like, oh, my gosh. And our head coach at that time was Bobby Ross. He is a military guy, just straight-laced guy, and he says from the back of the room, he goes, Dave, you head up there right now. We'll take care of the rest. See ya. And I'm like, all right, coach, and I ran out of the chapel. Bye-bye. That was awesome. It was great. And guys that were at that chapel years later still come up to me, man, best chapel ever was when you read that note, you know.
Well, and I teach this I lead a Bible study for years with the Lions' wives. And so we talk about this regularly. And I had one wife. She's real young. She's like 23. They'd been married 1 year. And she said, hey, you guys, this weekend is our anniversary. My husband's renting a limo. We're going out for dinner. And I said, so what are you doing for him? She's like, I'm going. You know, that's what I'm doing. It's going to be great. I said, no. Like, you need to make this night awesome for him, too. You should go buy something that's perfect for you. Wear it underneath your dress. Just make it a special night for both of you, and it'll be a surprise for him. It'll be really fun. She's like, really? And she was very new in her faith. She's like, is that okay? You know? So we actually went shopping together. She got something that was perfect for her. Calls me the next morning. She said, Ann, best night of our lives. And my husband, that evening, he said, this was the best thing you have ever done for me. Where did you come up with this idea? Because you're not generally like this. She said, it was at our Bible study. This guy never went to anything, just a wild guy. And he looked at her and he says, I don't want you to ever miss one of those Bible studies again. He was there the next week.
He came to the chapel, started coming to Bible study, led him to Christ, got baptized. He's in ministry full-time today, he and his wife. It's an unbelievable story, isn't it? All because of great sex. So there you go. So anyway, we're done, really. But I do want to encourage you, it's okay to laugh, think outside the box. I mean, I could tell you many stories, which I won't. They embarrass everybody here. But just to give you an idea, in our life, and we're not crazy, but she is creative, and I try to be creative in this area, in romance, in sexual, spice it up a little bit. We've got a deck in our house. We've got a trampoline at our house. I mean, hello, it's okay.
It's weird for me, because for me, like our best, if you would say, what's your most romantic thing you did? Yeah. I can think of this great location of with this beautiful setting and dinner and candlelight. I'm like, what's yours? And we talked intimately. He's like, oh, man, that time that you planned this thing, that's always Dave's. Like, that was the best night of our marriage.
It's crazy, isn't it? Uh-huh. All right, so we're done. One-on-one homework you've got tonight. We're going to go out and have some dessert and that kind of thing, but you've got some time tonight. We're ending right on time at 9:15, and here's a couple things to write down as questions, all right? Just to give you don't have to do these, but these could help you in this area, one-on-one homework.
Let's do this one first. Describe.
Go ahead.
The first one would be maybe, and you don't have to do any of these, maybe one of these, whatever you want to do. But here could be some suggestions. Describe a romantic evening for you. Like, what would that look like? And
both
then,
the man and the woman.
Right.
Talk about what would that look like?
Mm-hmm. If you had to describe a great night for you romantically.
Almost play by play. Like we'd start here, it'd start at this time, we'd go this, whatever it would look like.
Restaurant,
it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
And maybe you've talked about this many times. Maybe this would be
and
something to learn.
If one of you says, like, oh, if we could do the, you know, something that's like, if we could have sex here that right away. As a wife or the other person, don't look at him and says, that's all you think about. It's not about the relationship. It's all about sex. Don't do that. Like, you just need to dream and let them share what they're thinking.
Keep going.
What's one thing I can do to improve our sex life? And be very gentle with your answer. It could be brush your teeth, you know. But be very careful when I say, like, don't say, like, if you wouldn't be so fat, stuff like that, that could kill your night. So be very, very gentle.
And as we said before, remember, and I know you will, but remember, this is a hard topic to talk about.
Right.
This one-on-one exercise we're encouraging to have could be very difficult for you, and that's understandable. And we know... We're not encouraging you to go from 0 to 9 in terms of communication. Just take a baby step tonight. Mm. Maybe you can't talk about all these. We're throwing out 3 or 4
right.
ideas, and maybe it's just one of these you'll
here,
be able to talk
about.
Here
could be another one. What fears do you have regarding our sex life?
What fears do you have?
And then another one could be, what hinders you from wanting to engage in sex? And as I said, be very careful how you answer. Make sure you don't answer with a, you never do this, you always do this, you're not romantic. You just be very careful. It might be good to start out with, if you could talk to me longer, if you could kiss me during the day, that would really help. Or if you could initiate sex, that could help. But be very careful.
I say we close with that.
Okay.
We got 2 minutes left. So.
Okay. Go ahead, you can explain what it is.
Yeah, we came across this Ann Landers, you know, she used to be a columnist about a daughter wrote in about her parents, and it was just, it's a pretty good picture of what
yeah.
a healthy sex life and marriage could look like. We'll end with that.
It says, Dear Ann Landers, last weekend we celebrated my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. This morning they left on a long-awaited trip to Hawaii. They were as excited as if they were going on their honeymoon. When my parents married, they had only enough money for a 3-day trip 50 miles from their home. And so they made a pact that each time they would make love, they would put $1 in a special metal box and save it for a honeymoon in Hawaii for their 50th anniversary. Dad was a policeman and Mom was a school teacher, and they lived in a modest house and did all of their own repairs. Raising 5 children was a challenge, and sometimes money was short. But no matter what emergency came up, Dad would not let Mom take any money out of their Hawaii account. And as the account grew, they put it in a savings account and then bought CDs. Well, my parents were always very much in love, and I can remember Dad coming home and telling Mom, I have $1 in my pocket. And she would smile and reply, and I know how to spend it. When each of us children married, Mom and Dad gave us a small metal box and told us their secret, which we found enchanting. All 5 of us are now saving for our dream honeymoons. Mom and Dad never told us how much money they had managed to save, but it must have been considerable because when they cashed in those CDs, they had enough for airfare to Hawaii plus hotel accommodations for 10 days and plenty of spending money. And as they told us goodbye before leaving, Dad winked and said, tonight, or starting an account for Cancun.
I mean, when we read that, we just thought, what a beautiful picture, isn't it? Mm. That is a godly picture of God's dream for a married couple, going the distance, and even in this area. In fact, when our first son was married, guess what we gave him as a wedding gift? A little metal box, and told him the story, and they're saving up right now.
They might need to put, with the times, maybe $5 a time now. Forget it.
What did that mean?
It's because...
All right, whatever. Okay. Let's pray and let's go enjoy each other. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you for your perspective on this. And I pray, for each one of us. I pray for couples that are really struggling tonight and have been struggling in this area in their marriage. I pray for a breakthrough. I pray that they'd be able to talk. Maybe that's all they need to do tonight is just sit on the end of the bed and talk. Hold hands and talk. Not make love, not have sex, just talk. And others that are in different places, I pray tonight could be a beautiful night for them, and that they would have your heart and your perspective, and that you would be brought in to this area of our lives. Thank you for this amazing, amazing, beautiful, intimate gift that you've given us, and we praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Is that it, Ken?
Good night. See you in the morning.
See you in the morning.